Hallelujah. Good morning. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. This morning, Pastor Roger asked me to preach on communion and the elements and what they mean to us. And I would ask that you would open your heart to hear about them in a new way. And even though we've prayed, I want to just say from here, Jesus, I ask you not only to anoint me, but we open our hearts to you. We ask that you'd speak to us individually, Holy Spirit, about our lives and how you want your body broken for us and your blood poured out for us to mean something new. Hallelujah. So, where does our value come from? Where does our value come from? Is it from how much money we have? Is it from how many people like us? I might be in trouble if it's one of those. fame, being elite, maybe that 1% that are always on the television and the radio and the internet, are they what's valuable? Are they valuable and what are we? Are we nothing? Is that where our value comes from? Have you ever felt worthless? You ever just compare yourself to somebody? It's like the worst feeling in the world. C.S. Lewis said, comparison is the thief of all joy. Comparison is the thief of all joy. But that's okay, because we don't have to compare ourselves. We each have a place at the table. It was about the year 33, and Jesus was, unbeknownst to his disciples, because they were a little bit hard-headed, about to peace out. He was done. He was done with the world. And going on in Jerusalem was the Passover. And the Passover was marking a feast from thousands of years earlier when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Okay? And we're going to talk about that a little bit, because it's really important to understand under what context Jesus broke bread and poured wine and said, this is my body and this is my blood. It was under the context of the Last Supper was literally the Passover feast, the Wednesday night or Thursday night, depending on how you look at calendars, between the last evening before he died, before he was crucified. So Matthew 26:26 through 30 says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks for it, he gave it to them saying, drink. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And I love this part. And when they'd sung a hymn, well, they had hymns back then. When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Many of you know that at the Mount of Olives, his friend Judas betrayed him over to the Romans and started the events of our Jesus dying for us. So what's the big deal, Nick? So what? It's Passover. Big deal. Well, if we look at Exodus, God wanted to take judgment on the world, on the enemies of his people, representative in Egypt, and he wanted to come and kill all the firstborn children, all the firstborn men in Egypt, and brought death and judgment upon them. And so he told his people, look, when this death angel comes down on the earth, you're going to have blood over your doorpost, the blood of a one-year-old male lamb. You're going to sacrifice a lamb, perfect without blemish. It can't be, you know, that little lamb, Jojo, that we're all kind of thinking of killing anyway because he was a little limp. You know, like, oh, poor Jojo. We should just put him out of his misery. No, had to be one of your good lambs. Had to be good, strong, 1 year old, male, perfect and without blemish. And so in Exodus 12, he tells them, take the blood of this lamb and put it over the doorposts of the houses. I want you to eat the flesh of the lamb that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs. This bitter bread and lamb and the blood of that lamb over the doorpost. And this is how the Israelites escaped death. And every year for the rest of their lives, he told them, I want you to remember this moment. I want you to have this feast forever. I will pass over you. That's what they call a Passover. I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you or destroy you. I'll strike the land of Egypt. So these are good Jewish boys and girls. You know, they're at the Last Supper. There was women following Jesus as well, and that's why I say girls. And so these men were around Jesus at the table, and they're having the bread. And while they're eating, he breaks it and says, this is my body. Now, maybe that makes sense to you because you grew up in church and you've heard it your whole life, but that's kind of weird. If tomorrow at Subway, I hand a turkey sandwich to Titus and say, Titus, this is my body. Eat. He'd be like, what? I mean, it's weird. This Diet Coke is my blood. Drink from it, son. You know, it would just be weird. It's just weird. Their little brains were like, what? This was not normal talk. But then again, this was not a normal guy. And they were used to that. People would stretch out their hands and be healed, and lepers would be touched and cleansed, and people who were dead came back. And now he's saying, this is my body. And you better believe their brains are like, I believe you, but what does that mean? So we're going to talk about what that means. Point number one, the new Passover is a daily ritual. This is really significant in our lives. Our lives are so spiritual. This is really significant. The new Passover is a daily ritual. This isn't just once a year anymore that we are actually looking at this. How do I know it's daily? Well, if you look at Luke 22, verse 15 through 20, Jesus says, do this, they're eating together, do this in remembrance of me. How often do you eat? How often do you eat? You know, I've been eating smaller meals like 5 or 6 times a day. Some of you eat 3 times a day. If you include the snack where you grab something from your coworker's desk when he's not looking, it's probably 4. And then right before bed when you shouldn't be eating, that's 5. So, yeah. So do this in remembrance of me. Well, maybe he's talking about when you eat together as a church. Because, you know, we've pretty much made this about, oh, the first Sunday of every month, we're going to have communion. That's not what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoa, okay. So guess what? You need a reminder all day, every day, that death isn't going to touch you or your household anymore. That the sickness and the plagues of this world and a sinful life are no more upon you. That the blood of Jesus is over your household. And every time you break bread or break Subway or break French fries, you declare the Lord's death until he comes. And that's why, believe it or not, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, that's why some of you need to discern what you're eating. You don't discern that to your body anymore. And some have become sick, and some have even died. Wow. I was guilty of that. I still am. I don't always discern what I'm putting in my body. If we literally thought of Jesus sitting there, we'd be like, oh, you're going to get the extra large? Okay. Supersize me? Oh, we all got supersized during those years, didn't we? Interesting. So this is a holy act. Putting food in your mouth is now a holy act. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of amazing. So here's what's interesting. In this analogy, in this concept where he's saying, this is my body, this is my blood, that means there has to be a lamb. Because he didn't say, this lamb over here is me. Because the sacrifice being made over that next 24-hour period was about to happen. It had not yet happened. It was him. Point A is that Jesus is the lamb offered for us, perfect and without blemish. He's the one torn in two. He's the one cut apart. He's the one we feast on in our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for how you give yourself for us, how you die as a sacrifice for us. Point B, by his blood, judgment and death pass over us. By his blood, judgment and death pass over us. This is now our daily ritual. So first, we're looking at Matthew 26. We're looking at the Last Supper, and we're understanding that this there was a context to these Jewish people. They understood what he was talking about. He was making a very specific analogy. He was trying to prep them for what was about to come, even though they were super hard-headed. They didn't understand he was about to die. He's saying, look, every time you do this in remembrance of me. Why do we need a reminder? I know it's weird. Like, this woman has loved me for 14 years, but when she says it every day, I still need to hear it. I don't know what happens when we're sleeping, but you just wake up. Sometimes you feel horrible, and you just need a daily reminder that you're going to be okay, and you're loved. And so, by the way, when you put the orange juice in your mouth, or the pancakes in your mouth, or that cereal, or that protein bar, or the McDonald's you shouldn't eat, remember the fact that he came and died for you, and that he's everything. He's been torn apart. He's bled out for you, literally. When it says his blood was poured out, I looked up the Greek. It basically means poured out, like completely. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing when I was looking at this scripture that really blew my mind was he talks about his blood for the covenant. Covenant, what does that mean? Is that like a law? Is that like, I've heard of like the Testament, the Old Testament, the New School, the New Testament, the Old School or something, I don't know. These words are kind of foreign to us, and I went and dug a little deeper into this word for covenant. This is my blood of the covenant. Now, Luke 22 calls it a new covenant. Matthew and Mark call it the covenant. Well, the covenant God made with his people is actually found kind of back where we were last 2 weeks ago, back in Exodus. In Exodus 19, Moses is on top of a mountain talking to the living God. Right? And God makes covenant with his people, and he gives them our 10 favorite suggestions. He gives them the 10 commandments, the 10 loving laws. But he tells them a bunch of stuff. Look, you're mine. I took you out of Egypt. Don't do all this stupid stuff right here. You're going to feel way better if you don't. Put me first. Don't kill each other. Don't lie. Don't have sex with other people's wives. Don't have sex with anyone who isn't your wife. You know, he puts it all in there. He's a good God. But here's the thing. He makes this covenant with them and says, obey my law, and I'll be your God. And now we're saying this is the blood of the covenant or the new covenant. Well, if we look at this Greek word here for covenant, it means, in Greek, the word is diatheke. It means a disposition. I didn't know what that was either, so I Googled that. A legal disposition is an arrangement of any sort. One wishes to be valid. The last disposition is what which one makes of his earthly possessions after his death, a will. Huh. Night before he dies, Jesus is announcing his will. It says, everything on earth belongs to him. 1,000 cattle and 1,000 hill, everything is his. His earthly possessions, what he owns, what belongs to him. And he's saying, hey, I know you don't understand this, but I'm just going to let you in on a secret. This is the blood of my will. This is my last will and testament to you. What's he going to give us? I'm excited. Point number two, the new covenant is about inheritance instead of law. It doesn't matter how many wills you make. Did you know your last signed will is the good one? That's the good and valid one. I can make a will that says Emmy gets everything. And in my last day of life, say, it's going to John. I love that guy. He was so good to me in life. Signing it to John. Sorry, honey. No, you get it all, baby. No, the last will we sign, the last will you sign, you can change your mind up to the last minute. So it doesn't matter what it said in Exodus. It doesn't matter what the covenant was. God has come down into flesh and says, I'm letting you know what my will is now. Not my will like what I want for your life. I mean my last testament and will, what I'm going to give to everyone. And is your name on this list? And if so, what am I going to give to you? I'm excited to find out. Point A, the old way, the old covenant, was to be perfect, the Ten Commandments. You know, I don't really like that one because I like winning and I fail every day at that. And we create this thing inside of us, try harder, try harder. I started going to that church, downtown. I guess I'm going to have to try harder. Oh, I just looked at that person. Oh, I shouldn't have looked at him that way. Oh, I just said that word. Oh, I shouldn't have said that word. Oh, I want to kill that guy. Oh, I shouldn't want to kill that guy. Oh, man. I can't stop. All day I'm sinning. Thank you, Jesus, for your new will, your last will and testament. Point B is that the new way is endless life as his treasured possession. Endless life as his treasured possession. You know, Nick, I like your preaching, but where is that in the Word of God? That's a valid question. Because I could get up here all day long and tell you happy little lies and send you right out those doors into hell. Or I can tell you where God has already proved what I just said. Let's look at the whole point of the first covenant in Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Now, therefore, this is God speaking. This is before he gives them the Ten Commandments. The whole point of the Ten Commandments is found a chapter before. And I just found this out this morning. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 19 says, now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So the whole time, all God wanted was a group of people to say, you're mine. You're my treasure. I adore you. I am my beloved's and he is mine. So the last will and testament of Jesus is actually the fulfillment of what Father God wanted all those years ago. Treasured possession. But here's the problem. There's still this law out there saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. How many of you have not sinned today? Raise your hand. How many of you have not sinned today? You six are lying right there. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No one was brave enough to raise their hand but me. Liars! You've all sinned today. Praise God. So here's the problem. All right, Nick, I understand the Passover. I understand Jesus is the lamb. He took the sacrifice. I understand that you want us to remember this. He wants us to remember this every day. Every time we eat, actually, we're supposed to remember Jesus dying for us and be like really kind of sobered by that. That's good. And I understand that we're going to be his treasured possession. But what about the big problem glaring us in the face that you're an ugly sinner just like me and that you fall short? Maybe if you wore a really nice suit like this guy right here, you'd get in. Maybe if you came Wednesday nights and Sunday, you'll be okay. I don't think that's in there. I don't think you're going to be okay. You can read the Bible for yourself. Tell me this week if you can find notes on that. I don't think you're going to be okay. So for us to get in, we're going to have to be perfect. The old covenant is still in existence, even though there's a new will. I wish the Old Testament was called the Covenant, and I wish the New Testament was called the Will. Where does our value come from? You know, simply put, the value of anything is what someone else is willing to pay for it. I love when people are like, my house is worth $400,000. I'm like, okay, cool. What would it sell for? It would probably sell for about $350,000. Then it's worth $350. It's worth what someone else will pay for it. You ever see one of these screwy pieces of art, you know, this modern art? It's like a white canvas with like a red circle and a single black dot, and someone bought that for $5 million. I want to be a modern artist. I can make you so many red circles and put black dots in there. I just want you to give me $5 million every time. Guys, something is worth what someone else will pay for it. So where does our value come from? There's only one person in the history of mankind who's lived a perfect life. There's only one person whose blood could actually be shed once and for all for you. Which means we're in trouble If he has favorites, right? Luckily, we're all his favorites. Point number three, our new value, our purchase price, is measureless. Measureless. Because no one else in the history of mankind, or in the history of the universe, or in the history of galaxies, or the history of history, or the history of existence, no one else ever, backwards or forwards, has ever, will ever, be able to do what was done in the year 33 AD by Jesus the Christ, the living God, in human flesh. You cannot measure your value. I don't mean like, oh, I guess it's a number I can't measure. No, I mean it can't be measured. It's infinite, the price now. Infinite, what Jesus was willing to pay for you. And sometimes you see yourself, yeah, sometimes you kind of look at your life and feel like a screwy piece of modern art. And you know what? I don't know why you thought my stupid red circle and my black dot was worth everything, but you say it is. So I'm going to say I'm worth everything. And I'm going to align my tongue, remember 2 weeks ago, I'm going to align my mouth with your truth, and I'm going to say I'm worth what you paid for me. I don't care how your spouse treats you. I don't care how your boss treats you. I don't care how the other people on the street treat you and the rich people treat you and the police treat you. Your worth is infinite. And you don't need anyone else to agree, including you. Praise God, because some days you're going to wake up on the wrong side of bed and you're not going to even agree with Jesus about how valuable you are. He's going to whisper to you all day. And if you'll tune into that channel, into that radio channel, you'll hear it. I love you. I adore you. You're valuable. Infinite value. I love that. It's not for the rich. It's not for the elite. It's not for those who have followers on Instagram. It's not for those who have TV shows or money. It's for us. It's interesting. How do I know? Nick, this is a great point, but how do I know? Tell me about the Word of God. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 7, you, verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves to men. You were bought with a price. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, he says in verse 19, in verse 20, you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Huh, there's this theme. I've been bought with a price. Well, what was the price? What was the price? Acts 20, 28. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The purchase price is the perfect blood of Jesus. It's never existed anywhere else. It's one of a kind. That's why people buy great works of art, because you can't duplicate it. You get to say, I'm the one who owns the blah, 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 blah painting. I'm the one. In the whole world. Anyone else who thinks they have it is a knockoff. By the way, knockoffs aren't worth as much as originals. And each of you is an original. Not a single one of you is a copy. And you know what? You devalue yourself when you try to be like someone else. Stop putting your own little coloring on the painting because it's been perfect this whole time. Stop putting your little scribbles on there. Can you imagine when my children came up to the Mona Lisa? Oh my gosh. Oh, I just feel like that could totally happen. Titus! What, Daddy? I thought she needed a mustache. Yeah. Thanks. I'm going to jail now. Our new value, our purchase price is measureless. Don't try to be anybody else. Your value comes from the price that was paid for you. Here's what's interesting. I liked this message, but then I just felt like there was a little more. And I was looking at this scripture that God brought me to, and I have to preach what he says to preach. And he took me to Matthew 26, 26 through 30. And I was like, this seems kind of simple. You know, I like it, but it seems simple. And the Lord took me deeper in his word. And he started showing me some things I've never seen before in the Greek. It was so beautiful. I fell on my face crying before God. I said, your word is too beautiful for me. It's in one little passage, Matthew 26, 28. It says, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so what? Seems pretty straightforward. We know that one, Nick. We already know that. Blood, covenant, many, forgiveness, sins. Okay, well, the blood, the word for blood, it's Jesus' blood. Okay, there's nothing secret there. Poured out, it means poured out. The Greek word there means just drained. And he was just drained of his life. Covenant, we know, is his will, his new will, his last will and testament of what he's going to give us all, the inheritance of eternal life as his treasured possession. We know that. We like that part. That's new. Thanks, Lord. Poured out for many. I love this. The people following Jesus were just regular peeps. Unemployed fishermen, former tax collectors, prostitutes redeemed out of that lifestyle. Nobody had suits on. They had sandals, man. They were dirty. They were people. They were real men and real women. I love that. I love that he says, this is who I came for. This is who I poured out my blood for many. The word many meaning the multitudes, for everybody, for the common man, for you and me. I love it. Then it says, for the forgiveness of sins. Well, I already know we know what forgiveness means, but let's look at this word for sins together. My favorite thing about this verse. The word sin in the Greek is this word hamartia, which comes from this word hamartano. And hamartano means to miss the mark, and in doing so, not share in the prize. The most specific definition of the word is to not have a share in. It doesn't even talk about sin or screwing up. It just says you don't have a share. You don't have an inheritance. The definition of this word of sin that Jesus says I'm going to forgive is that you don't even have an inheritance. You don't even have a share in this. You don't even have a piece of this pie. You're out. And the implication of it was because of something you've done. And I tell you, no matter how many times we say it from this pulpit, that you're righteous because God says you are, you're going to go out that door and try harder. And no matter how many times we tell you your righteousness is because of the blood of Jesus, you're going to go out there and try to be a good little Christian. And you're going to fail before Monday. Probably while watching the Super Bowl, you're going to just be angry at someone on the screen or see a stupid advertisement or disagree with something they say and be mad and say a bad word. Whatever it is. You've got till midnight. You're going to do it. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. And I love it because Jesus says, everything you did to not deserve what I just told you I'm going to give you, I am forgiving, which means you are released from it. It means that the punishment due to you has actually been wiped away, dissolved, as if it never happened. As if it never happened. But Nick, I sinned again. Well, then he just wiped it away again. Okay. That's cool. That's good for about 5 minutes. But what about when I sin again? Then he just wiped it away again. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for the complete abolishment and dissolving of and wiping away from everything that disqualifies us for the eternal life of God. But you don't know what I did next week. I don't care what you do next week. Jesus wants you back. Come back. Stop trying to be righteous and get his love inside your brain so you can walk out his life. And every time you mess up, remind yourself, eat some bread, eat some crackers, eat some OJ, drink some water, and say, this is the blood and the body of Christ poured out for me. Don't be drinking wine all day. You're going to get drunk. You're like at work, well, no, this is a religious ritual. Boss, I'm supposed to be doing this all day. This man, Nick Haywood, told me. So I'm drinking my blood, eating my body. No! Every time you eat, I don't care if you're eating bread. I'm gluten-free. I don't even eat bread. So, because everything that disqualifies us from having a share, everything that takes away our ability to have the prize has been wiped away and abolished. Every disqualification, please open your hearts to me. Every disqualification, but what about that abortion? Every disqualification, but what about the man that I killed? Every disqualification, but what about the woman that I raped? Every disqualification, but what about that seething anger in my heart towards my father? Every disqualification. Everything about what we live here on earth says, I don't get to share in the eternal life of being the treasured possession of God. And Jesus says, I don't care. I wipe that clean. I pay the price with my blood. And every single man and woman who says, Jesus is the Christ, you come to me and you have been my treasured possession this entire time. Even when you were in your darkest place, I didn't leave you. I saw you and I wanted you. And by the way, this is my last will and testament. This is your inheritance. And that's why we have a place at the table. Not because of how good you are or a stupid suit. I don't even like wearing these. I want to be in flip-flops and a t-shirt and sandals and jeans, man. Everything paid for by the King for his treasured possession. I'm still going to leave all my inheritance to her. Sorry. It's how we get our place at the table. Right now, I want to invite the ministry team up with me. And we're going to do communion a little different this time. Because this is the first time for some of you that you're having communion with knowledge of the fact that this is part of Jesus' will. This is the inheritance of what he's giving to you. Some of you need to make a new commitment, a new covenant with God. Some of you need to make a new vow with the King of Kings. Some of you need to receive what you never realized you were getting every time you put his body and his blood in your mouth. Some of you need salvation. We're going to be inviting you row by row. These ushers are going to be inviting you up. You're going to come down the center aisle and you're going to receive these elements. And I would encourage you, some of you need a quiet moment back at your seat with you and Jesus, and that's okay. Some of you need to tell someone what God was doing in your heart today and what you need from this new covenant, this new will. Okay, so if you need to speak to one of these people and make that agreement or that confession or receive that salvation of what you want from God's blood and his body broken for you, then please see one of these dear people. And if you need a quiet moment with the King of Kings back at your seat, then just quietly take these elements back to your seat. These wonderful ladies and gentlemen are going to be dismissing us here row by row. And let's keep the sanctuary a quiet place for reflection, for people who are praying with these pastors and ministers, or for the people who are praying at their seat. And then for those of you who've taken those elements and had your moment with God, sharing in his inheritance fresh and brand new for you, wiped away everything that's ever disqualified you from having a share in the prize. And as the prize is given to you and you're done crying or laughing or rejoicing or whatever you're going to do, then you may be excused to go enjoy some coffee or other things over there. But remember, that's communion too. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise your holy name. Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Come minister to us afresh as we look at your inheritance. If we've taken your body or your blood in any unholy way, if we've taken food into our life in an unholy way, we ask that you'd bring healing and forgiveness to us at this table today. And we say that we'd be cleansed and freed by you in Jesus' name. Amen.